You'll find an insert today. You will find a scripture reading, and you'll also find some notes on the other side. And I'll remind you that if you want to see the expanded version of the notes, you can go to sncc.org, and there you can see the expanded notes, including the scriptures and everything. Or you can listen to the sermon on streaming audio, which is usually available by Monday morning. Today we want to talk a little bit again about faith. Last week was we were talking about fathers, and that the defining mark of a Christian man is his faith. Of a non-Christian man, a defining mark would be whatever we can say about their personality or who they are as a dad. But the defining mark of a Christian man is their faith. So today I was thinking about the role of faith in the Gospels. And, you know, we read a lot about faith, of course, throughout the New Testament. And a lot of it, especially once you get to John and the epistles, is about saving faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the main thing that we talk about here. And that is very important. It is the beginning point. It is what we will be sharing with the children this week in Vacation Bible School, and also Saturday out at Cuffey Center Park. The saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the first three Gospels, it's all in the context of the life and the ministry of Jesus. And surprisingly, the theme is not saving faith beyond believing in Him as the Messiah, but it is about faith as it should be functioning in the life of every believer. So if you really want to learn what faith looks like from God's point of view and how it ought to be in the lives of those of us who know the Lord as Savior, then you go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I've chosen virtually every theme of faith that you find in the first three Gospels. And so we just want to take a little look there today, and there's plenty of room for more study if you want to dig deeper in this. And we learned last week, of course, that faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the number one thing that pleases God. Faith coupled with obedience is the number one thing that pleases God in the life of His own. So we do have a scripture reading this morning. It's from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Let's get that and stand. I think it'll be up here on the screen as well. I'll read what's in the light print and ask you to read what's in the dark print, and then I'll join you on that final verse. Father, we thank You today for the work that You've done in our lives and that You continue to do, and that You build us and develop us in our relationship with You. And Lord, we are learning to trust You more. I think of that song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word." Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And Lord, that is the prayer that I have for myself and for all of our congregation and for all believers everywhere today, that Lord, as we trust You, as we believe in You, that You will give us the grace to trust You more and more and more until we trust You fully and fear has gone and fled and is no longer a part of our lives. Your word says, perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, we want to be filled with faith. And we pray that You will work this in us day by day and rid us of whatever elements still remain in our lives of doubt, uncertainty, or confusion. These things we pray in the name of Christ, our Savior. In His name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And if you are among those who like to use the notes or whatever and follow the notes, now would be the time to get those. And so, as I was reading through all of the passages in the NIV Bible in Matthew, Mark, and Luke where the word faith appears, It seemed to me that there were certain themes. These are my own divisions here. Divide them as you will. But that all of these encounters speak of faith, and they all speak of faith in pretty much in the terms of what I call working faith. There's redemptive faith, which is when we come to a personal saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then at that point on, we have a faith relationship with the Lord. And as we were talking about last week, it says the just will live by his faith. So faith, that's, we call it a faith walk, not a moonwalk, a faith walk. And we walk with the Lord day by day, and the whole thing, and it says, a righteousness of God that is by faith from first to last. So that means it begins with faith. Faith is the ending point, and faith is everything in between. The Christian life isn't that I came down on a Sunday, a certain number of years ago, and I prayed to receive Christ as Savior, and I put my faith in Him as Lord and Savior. That is not the totality of Christian faith. That's when faith begins, and then from that point on, every single day, I live by faith. I remember my parents used to sing a song entitled, Living by Faith. I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arm. I'm living, current tense, continuous tense, by faith, and I feel no alarm. And I guarantee you one thing, if you are one of those who is living by faith every day, you will not be feeling any alarm. And in today's world, that's even better than low gasoline prices. Can I hear an amen? But there are different kinds of faith that I find as I examine it in these three Gospels. The first I'm going to call, and you can fill in the blank there, great faith. Would you like to have great faith? Well, you have two great examples of great faith that Jesus Himself said that these two people had great faith. And the thing that I find so interesting is that both of the people that Jesus Himself said had great faith, neither one of them was an Israelite. One of them was a Roman centurion who was had converted to Judaism, no doubt, but he was a Roman centurion. He was not a Jew. And the other one was a lady from the rim of Israel, not even an Israelite, a Canaanite of the very people that the Israelites had cast out when they came in to conquer the land. And for the longest time, Jesus wouldn't even talk to her and would not even give her the time of day. But because of her persistence, He finally almost pushed her away. But she came back. He said, it's not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. That's almost an insult. And she said, instead of getting huffy and saying, well, how could he talk to me like that? She said, yes, Master. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And that won the day. And Jesus did a time machine thing and went outside of time because He had not yet offered Himself on the cross, and God had no covenant with these people, and He granted her request because of her great faith. And He said, woman, you have great faith. Go home. Your daughter is healed and delivered. And it was. So I tell you, great faith. Now the centurion, in his case, we see, his great faith consisted of the fact that he realized and understood Jesus' authority. And I want to spend a minute here. I don't have a lot of time to spend on it. But I don't think you and I will ever experience great daily working faith until we do really have an impact and an understanding of the authority of Jesus. I was just reading the other day, again, when we finished the book of Matthew in our Wednesday night Bible studies, right there at the end, Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. But before that, He says something else. All authority is given to me So if it was given to him, he didn't originally have it. It was given to him by his Father. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And I always say 99.9999% is not all. But Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord? All authority, authority over demons, authority over circumstances, authority over everything is in the name of Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. My faith is in the person of Jesus. That's why Peter, when he and John go in the afternoon to the temple, weeks after the resurrection, there's the crippled man that's been there for years and years and years in the same spot, begging in the same spot every day with his hand out. And Peter said, look at me. And he thought he was going to get a $5 bill or something. But instead, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he got up and walked, and he was leaping and praising God, and 3,000 people got saved. Hallelujah. And he said, why are you all looking at us? The crowd gathered. Why are you looking at us? He said, it's by the authority of the name of Jesus that this man stands healed before you today. It's by faith in his name. So we won't have great faith until we understand the extent of his authority. And that is why the Jews, they always had that element of doubt. Well, is he really the Messiah? How can we be absolutely sure he's the Messiah? The centurion was light years ahead of him. He had already figured it out, and he knew who Jesus was. That's why when Jesus gets up the street from his house, he sends the messengers back. He says, tell him he doesn't even need to come in. I'm not worthy that he should even come into my house. Tell him that he can just say so, and my servant will be healed. Because he said, Lord, listen, I'm a man under authority myself. I know how it works. I have a certain authority. I say to this guy, go over here and do that, and he does it. And I tell him, you go over here and do that, and you go over there and do that. And he says, I know that you operate the same way. My authority is over Roman soldiers. Your authority is over disease, death, sickness, and sin. He understood it. And Jesus took the time to stop. Now, it took a lot to impress Jesus. But Jesus was impressed and said so. He said, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. He said, I have not found this kind of faith even among my own people. And so, obviously, the desire was granted. So just to believe, that's all it is. Somebody said the other day, what was it? Said, well, I got to stop. Anyway, I forget which way they put it. I got to stop believing and just have faith or whatever. Just gotta believe. Just gotta accept it. And then the lady, the Syrophoenician lady, Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. And of course, we learn from this lady that real faith doesn't give up. And Jesus said that. He told two different stories about that. Real faith doesn't give up. Real faith just keeps on putting the request out there. Because in her case, it wasn't a matter of could he, but would he. But her faith was great. And the Lord will always respond to real faith. So just keep believing. Keep believing. Keep asking. Keep claiming. And you will see it come. Now, there's another kind of faith that we read about as we go through the first three Gospels, and that's number two, and that is little faith. How many have heard that? Oh, ye of little faith. Well, Jesus said that to more than one group of people on more than one occasion, and I want us to look at these because, unfortunately, as believers, there are a lot of times when if Jesus was here in person, he'd say, oh, Amos, you of little faith. Would he have said that to you sometime this week when you thought, you know, everything was getting out of hand or whatever? You know, what am I going to do now? Or we lay at night, awake at night worrying about stuff? Oh, yeah. And Jesus would say, oh, you of little faith. And it's actually like a name. You little faith, you. You little faith. How would you like to have that as a nickname? From the master, nonetheless. But he calls it as he sees it. And he calls it in keeping with how we act and behave, not what we just profess. So, okay. Number one had to do with daily needs. That must be a big area because that's still the number one thing, I think, that people worry about right now. Groceries, gasoline, right now. That is the number one thing that the people of God worry about. And Jesus said, you're crazy to do that. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So the next time you're worrying about the bill, it doesn't mean we ignore them or think they're not there, but you've got to pray over it and trust the Lord for it. Because otherwise you're laying awake at night worrying about it, and Jesus is going to say, you little faith. Number two, storm. Things start getting rough. Circumstances are just, we can't control them. It's like we're going to be swallowed up. You ever been through a storm? I hear Daryl's been through some real storms on the way to the island here in the last couple of years. Said there was one wave that even made the guy that was driving the boat gulp. But, you know, we really do. We get scared in a storm, don't we? Come on. We've got some pets at home, and there's one or two of them that go crawling under the furniture every time there's a lightning storm. But we're not much different from them. And things start getting out of hand. And we're like, got in the boat with his disciples followed him. Of course, that's what disciples do. They followed him physically. Without warning. How about that? Isn't that something? Without warning. Does that ever happen? Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He said, you of little faith, why were you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. Oh, you of little faith, why were you so afraid? The implication, if you read all three of these accounts, is that they could have rebuked the winds and the waves if they had had the faith. But, you of little faith, in the middle of the storm. Number three, Peter on the water. We know that story, right? Middle of the night, they've been rowing all night. They haven't been getting very far because the winds are against them. Jesus stayed back to pray a good part of the night. About 3 a.m., they see a form moving over the water. They think it's a ghost. He says, no, it's just me. Don't worry about it. Peter says, oh, Lord, since it's you, can I get out of the boat and walk on the water too? How many of you would like to walk on water? I have to confess, I'd love to be able to do that. Jesus said, come on. He didn't say, you can't do it, you're not the Son of God. He didn't say any of it. Come on. So, we know the story, don't we? Peter got out, he was walking right toward Jesus, but then it says he saw the waves. He got his focus back on the waves, on the winds. He remembered that he couldn't, and he was going to drown, and Jesus had to reach down and pull him up. But aren't you glad the Lord does reach down and pull us out? But we're no different. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, so far so good. So far so good. Lord, I think I'm handling this one pretty good. Ooh, I didn't realize it was that bad. little faith. Number four, this one really cracks me up. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. And they're crossing the lake, and Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And the disciples are like, "Why is he talking about yeast? Why is he talking about it? Oh, it's got to be because we forgot the bread." So I call this one, fill it in, bread crisis. Oh, it was a real crisis. They hadn't bought bread. And if you think this is strong, read it in some of the other accounts. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand?" Does the Lord ever say that to us? "Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, or how many baskets full you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets full you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread?" And then he told him what he meant. Watch out for their teaching, because it'll corrupt you if you listen to it. Have you had a bread crisis recently? You ever heard that phrase, mountains out of molehills? Number five. This may be the closest thing in one way to a legitimate. Jesus had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. But down here, there was a boy with epileptic attacks, really, really bad since he was little. And in his case, the boy was demon-possessed, and the disciples had been, whatever, rebuking the demon, and nothing had been happening. And Jesus walks up while this is going on. And the man in the crowd says, "Lord, I brought my son to your disciples, but they haven't been able to help him." And Jesus was like, "Oh, you faithless generation, how long am I going to have to put up with you? Bring him here. Let me see him. How long has this been going on? How does it manifest itself?" And then Jesus says to him, and by the way, add this category. The actual word faith didn't appear there, so I missed it. But put growing faith or struggling faith, because we have to put this dad in that category. Because he says, "If you can do anything to help us, Lord, help us." And Jesus said, "Well, if you believe, if you have faith, anything's possible to him that believes." And then we know that famous quote, "Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief." Or in some translations, "Lord, I do believe. Help me to believe more." Is that where you find yourself today? That is a good prayer to pray. "Lord, I do believe, but help me to believe more." And I believe that is one prayer he will answer. So the dad's in that category. But unfortunately, the disciples were not, interestingly enough. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." Now, you think about that one a minute. If you even had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could have done this. Think of what that means. Now that moves us to the next category. I hope we're not in this one, but we probably know some people like this. No faith. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And it is sad when God wants to do things in our lives and He cannot do them because of our stubborn unbelief. And we get hung up on the most silly things. They were all hung up because they had known Jesus in the flesh since He was just a little boy. Oh, I used to rock Him. Oh, when He was little, I used to push His cradle. Oh, He grew up. He went to school with my boy. And growing up, He wasn't anything special. Why is He so special all of a sudden? Why are all these crowds following Him? Who does He think He is all of a sudden? And there are people like that today. Oh, yeah. And sometimes it's the people closest to it. Oh, yeah, yeah, I got an uncle that's a preacher. Oh, yeah, and I got a cousin that's a worship leader over at such and such a church. But see, the problem is what they're not saying is, and I know, hey, they're just like me. They're no better than anybody else. Well, I can remember when this one, the things he used to do in school, yeah, what makes him so special? And we get hung up on that stuff and actually block what God wants to. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't get hung up on all this kind of stuff. Hey, we're all saved by grace. Is there anybody here today that isn't saved by grace? So God will use people. And God wants to work in our lives. But we get hung up. Sometimes the ones of us that are closest to it are the most unbelieving of all. Because we've been around it all our life. We take it for granted. And then the other one is the disciples when they had heard that Jesus had risen. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with Him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen Him, they did not believe it. They did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Who is this we're talking about? We're talking about the 11 disciples. One was gone. But let's not get in that. You know what their problem was? They knew that the dead don't rise. Oh, but hadn't they seen Jesus raise a number of people? Come on. So why now couldn't they not believe that Jesus Himself had risen from the dead? Our faith is so inconsistent sometimes. Next category, obvious faith. We know this story. The house was full. The four men had this guy on the cot. They wanted to get him in front of Jesus. There wasn't any way to do it. So they go up on the roof. They open up the roof. They take the roof apart. They get some ropes, and they let him down right in front of Jesus. And it says, Jesus looked up, and it says when He saw their faith. It doesn't say when He saw the roof taken off. It doesn't say when He saw the man laying there on the cot. It says when He saw their faith. Can you see faith? Well, it's kind of like the wind. You can't see the wind itself, but you can sure see what it's doing, can't you? As some of those tornado people. But it was obvious. It couldn't be missed. I hope, you know, and they weren't trying to impress anybody. They were just trying to get their friend to Jesus, okay? So if you're working really, really hard to get your friends to Jesus, then I have an idea your faith will be pretty obvious somewhere along the way. This next one is my favorite one. I just call it working faith. Number one, the unnamed woman with chronic bleeding. We all know that story, and it's in more than one of the Gospels. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had been to every doctor there was. She's like some of the people you know. Been to every doctor in town. She knew all their doctors, all their specialties, and every single diagnosis. And she wasn't any better, and she had spent all her money on doctors. But she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Is that faith? She pressed through the crowd. She reached out. She touched that garment. In the natural, Jesus didn't even know she was there, and power flowed. It was like a connection. It was like when Roy Hanbury makes that final connection on that wire, you know, and we get power to those receptacles downstairs. And she was healed right then on the spot. And then Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what are you in the world are you talking about? There's people pushing on you from every angle. What's this? Who touched? No. Somebody, you don't know what I mean. Somebody touched me. We're real. And she came forward. And he commended her and he said, daughter, you go your way. Don't you worry. Your faith has made you whole. Work in faith. And she's just a common, ordinary woman. I mean, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't of the elite or anything. Hey, God honors faith. He's not looking at your social status or any of that. We got to keep moving. Two blind men in Matthew. They get hollering, Jesus, have mercy on us. They're making a scene. People say, oh, you all need to be quiet. And it says the more people told them they needed to be quiet, the more they were saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Don't let other people talk you out of your blessing. I'm almost sounding like one of those prosperity preachers now, don't I? I'm not one of those. But don't let people talk you out of your blessing, because if you let them, they will. Oh, the Lord doesn't work that way today. Three blind Bartimaeus, same thing. And then we end with this. This isn't an actual incident, but this is when the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, we want more faith. Increase our faith. And then Jesus gives them the faith principle. The faith principle is the faith like a mustard seed. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, he had cursed it the day before, and the very next day it had completely dried up from the roots, something that scientifically is impossible. And do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you also can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So the faith principle is the principle of the faith as a mustard seed. If you have faith like a mustard seed. Now, as a child, on more than one occasion, my parents received cards from people. And they would have the mustard seed on the front under a little magnifying glass, because you really almost, it's kind of like a poppy seed. You really couldn't hardly see it with the naked eye. And Jesus says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, if you have a faith that big, you can say to this mountain, a mustard seed faith can say to the mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. How's that? What's the ratio there, do you think? They say an ant can carry several times its weight. Hey, Jesus, listen again. Jesus said, if you have faith even like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So he's saying that when we're not getting answered, nothing's happening, then our faith is basically non-existent. Because he said, if you can get just as much faith, working faith, together as a mustard seed, small faith can do great things. Just as long as it's really faith in the Lord. So I don't know where you are, my Christian friend, or others. Maybe you're here today and you haven't embraced Jesus as Savior yet. Well, you need to do that. You need to do that first. You need to embrace Him as Savior and Lord, and then begin a walk with Him. But each of us, you know, and again, it's not always uniform. I imagine all of you here today, there's been times in your life when the Lord's just given you great faith for things, and you've seen Him work in some mighty ways. How many would raise your hand and say, I've seen the Lord do some really remarkable things, you know, and at times the Lord has really given me. But see, that's the problem with us. The Lord will give us that faith for that great big thing, and then we go back home and worry about the water bill. How inconsistent is that? So as a believer, I would just say, Lord, you know, give me more faith. Give me faith to trust you, Lord. Because see, faith that's really focused on the Lord, that's what it is. It's not focused on me. It's not even focused on the need that much. It's focused on the Lord. When that lady went to touch the hem of His garment, she wasn't focusing on her bleeding. She was focusing on the hem of His garment. And she received what she was looking for. So I just say, hey, the Gospels teach us. Jesus put a lot of value. And then there at the end, He says to several of them, He says, according to your faith be it unto you, or according as you have believed it will be done unto you. He said that to more than one person. I have those quotes there for you. According to your faith, or as you have believed, it will be done unto you. He said that to the centurion, the two blind men, and that Canaanite woman. And then to four different ones, He said, your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. That was the woman with the bleeding, the Samaritan leper who came back to thank Him, blind Bartimaeus, and the sinner woman who washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And at the end, He said, your faith has saved you. And that day, she received cleansing and forgiveness. But, oh, our Master, He is so wonderful. And He wants to raise up a breed of people of faith. That if people had to define us, they'd say, yeah, those. Not they're religious, not they go to church, not that. Those are people of faith. And I want the Lord to be able to say of us, to point to any one of us and say, that is a person of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We know this is, faith is a gift. It's not just natural in us. You build it in us. It says in your word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, as we begin to believe your word, as we begin to believe you, not just believe in you, but believe you, believe what you have said, you will begin to work in our lives in ways you have not worked before. And you're going to begin to do some wonderful things. I pray today, Lord, I do pray, increase our faith. You're not going to drop it in our laps, but as we begin to trust you day by day for both the little things and the big things, you're going to just continue to work faith in our lives until it becomes the norm rather than the exception. I believe it in Jesus' name, and I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know what need you might have in your life today, but whatever it may be, believe me, Jesus is the answer to it. Would you come this morning? I'll be down front. And if there's any need in your heart, whether that's forgiveness, cleansing, or some other need, come and share it, and we'll pray about it together. Kevin, would you lead us in our closing song?